Thanks for listening to Nifty Gadgets for Family Bikers. You can find links to the gadgets in our show notes or at the website www.niftygadgetsforfamilybikers.com. Please share the podcast with other bikers and review the podcast when you have a minute. See you soon. Welcome to the Nifty Gadgets for Family Bikers podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Harkin, a family biker in Washington, D.C., mom of two boys, and founder of the D.C. Family Biking Facebook group. Please enjoy the episode. Okay. Hi, John. Thanks so much for taking time to talk to Nifty Gadgets for Family Biking. We'll just jump right in and have you introduce yourself and tell me about what you guys ride.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks, Nicole. So my name is John O'Brien. I'm a father of five young children, and they range from 10 is our oldest. Our youngest is 3. We got into family biking in a recent assignment in D.C. I'm a federal government employee with the State Department. So I've had the tremendous opportunity to live and work overseas. And when we were living in Washington, D.C. fairly recently, we got into biking as a family and commuting and taking the kids to school. And that had a number of different looks. I recall when I started, we had a chariot, you know, a tow-behind trailer.
You're cutting out a little bit, John. Let's hear.
I would put the two boys into that were
Can
in
you hear
school
me?
At the time.
Oh, I lost you. Okay.
Am I cutting out?
Are you back?
I can hear you. Yeah. Did I cut out there for a minute?
Yeah, you did cut out. Okay. So let's see. You were just talking about living in DC and taking the kids.
Yeah. So we started I just love being on my bike. It makes me feel like a kid again. So any and all opportunities, I welcome. And so at the time we had a pull behind trailer and like a chariot, and
I
took the two kids to school, and that was about a 2 mile, pretty short, maybe 2.5 mile to DC. And then I would go on to work, which was always funny, toting an empty trailer from their school to the main headquarters for the State Department. And of course, it was a bulky thing, and you know, there wasn't bike lanes the whole way. So I got my fair share of beeps from drivers who thought I was taking up too much space. And then after a bit, the two kids got a little bit big for the trailer, and so we also had a cargo bike that I just didn't enjoy driving riding as much, just because it was big and bulky. It came to the point where that was required. And so we loaded the two kids on the back of the cargo bike, and then I would go on to work and commute to and from work.
And then, what kind of bike was that?
Yeah, it was an Extra Cycle, longboard, and the model, why can't I think of the model name right now? Edge Runner.
The standard. Okay.
Yeah, which we love that this bike has been great for us. We got it when we first moved to DC, which would have been 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2014. Still have it. It made the trip with us. We finished our 3-year assignment in DC and moved to Guatemala in summer of 2017, and it made the trip with us. And we continue to use it. So anyway, it got to a point where I was taking the third child entered school. So I was taking all three kids to school on the Edge Runner. And then we got to the point where we had our fifth. And in order to give my wife a little break while she was at home with the fifth, I would take the three kids to school, and then I would put the fourth on the front. So at one point I had three kids sitting on the back of the Edge Runner, and our fourth in one of those little seats that mounts on the handlebars.
That's awesome. Now, are there a lot of bikers where you are now?
Well, Guatemala is an interesting place because I wouldn't call it the most bike-friendly culture. So there are quite a few bikers, and you get a mix of you know, those who bike because it's their best and most reliable form of transportation. There's a very strong mountain biking culture. It's in the mountains. It's a very high elevation. There's a lot of great mountain biking. So there's a lot of mountain bikers. There's some road bikers, but I think because it's not super bike friendly, that's a bit of a dangerous endeavor. So the road bikers are the braver or the stupider, okay, depending on your perspective. So you see them. There's some, but I wouldn't say there's a lot.
But you must be quite the sight with all four kids on the bike.
Well, we've as a foursome, we've kind of outgrown the ability to put them all on the end runner. Right. I still can get three on there, but the two big ones now have grown out of any ability to get them on there. But yeah, I mean that bike in Guatemala is. It's just not there. I've never seen another one. I've never seen anything resembling a cargo bike. I've never seen one in a bike store. You know, we shipped ours and had a bike shop put it back together for us. So yeah, it gets a lot of looks. Anytime we have it out in public, it turns a lot of heads.
Cool. So do you have any tips and tricks for us? How do you get all those kids on that bike? Tell me about it.
Well, you definitely have to be careful because the moment you turn your back, they get to rocking back and forth and they're going to fall down. So I always keep a hand or a foot on the bike at all times.
True.
I mean, balance is the key skill that I learned very quickly as they're back there shaking around. You know, they enjoy it. And so I use a little bit of fear in that I tell them if they don't behave back there, they won't be able to, we won't be able to go again.
I definitely have, you definitely can hear me screaming, stop wiggling.
Yeah, it throws you off pretty easily. You know, so I'm a bit of a gear geek. I love cycling gear. You know, I was one of the cyclists when I lived in DC that commuted all four seasons, which if you have the right gear and the right equipment to keep you warm is very doable, I found. And so, you know, when I'm riding in the winter and I have a face mask, baklava, you know, I got a couple little ones for my kids and they eat that stuff up, you know, they get excited about it. And
yeah,
I'll never forget one of the final days when I had the Chariot, it was snowing, but it had started just in the morning. So they hadn't canceled school. School was on normal schedule. And we went, you know, we were getting ready to leave. And I said, well, we'll just take the bus today. And the kids said, no, we want to ride the bikes. I said, really? Let's look outside. It's snowing pretty good out there. And they're like, we want to ride the bike. You know, I mean, they just they ate it up. And I'll never forget because one of the other parents at the school is a guy named John Renal, who's a pretty well-known bike advocate in D.C. And he saw me riding the bike. And then I think the next day, He approached me and he said, did you ride in the snow yesterday? I said, yeah, the kids insisted. And he said, man, that's hardcore. Cause he said, that was above my threshold. And that's when I felt like I had arrived.
You'd leveled up.
True bike commuter when someone who I looked up to as, you know, like a monument, an institution in bike commuting in DC, was giving me a compliment. And cause he's the same. He's all season. Of course, his kids are probably grown their extra cycle as well. But anyway, you know, getting them excited about it is the best thing that I could think. And you know, try to give them the freedom as they've gotten bigger and gotten off of, you know, me riding them around and they're getting on their own bikes. I try to give them a lot of freedom. I remember when I was a kid, that's what the bike represented, you know, ability to go a little bit further without your parents and a certain bit of independence. And so I try and, as much as I'm able in a foreign country where it's not always real safe, I try to give them as much freedom and leeway as I can. And it gives them that sense of freedom that all kids, I think, really yearn for and love and keeps them excited about cycling.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's such a balance figuring out when you could let them, you know, ride around the block yourself by themselves or, you know, what they can do on their own.
It's a tough balance too, and you never know. Oftentimes you don't learn whether or not you're on the right or wrong side of that balance until after you realize you made a mistake. Oh, why did I let them go around the block? because one of them crashed and you had to go find them. Or
the time that I let my kid climb up on the climbing apparatus and then he decided to fly like Superman? And I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, precisely. And certain things you even see coming, but you know, these damn kids, they won't let you learn for them. They have to learn for themselves.
So that's the truth. That's the truth. Oh my God. So now you guys must be doing a lot of hot weather biking. Guatemala?
Not really.
Okay.
Guatemala City, the capital where we live and where the embassy is located, is at a pretty high elevation.
Okay.
I think it's only maybe it's just short of Denver. So it's,
I think
75 meters less above sea level than Denver is. So nearly a mile. So it keeps it very temperate all year long, really. The biggest weather challenge in the capital is rainy season, which corresponds to the hurricane season on the East Coast. But even that's a little bit predictable. You get the afternoon thundershower. A lot of times it rains early in the morning, but then it, when the sun comes off and it burns the clouds off, the rain dissipates. And I was able to commute all through the last two rainy seasons without, you know, you get caught every now and then. And that's where I go back to my being a gear geek. And if you have the right gear, a short ride in the rain, you know, you get home, you rinse off, you dry the bike off and you move on and you have a good story, if nothing else.
Yeah, when I made a parenting mistake when my oldest was little, and I told him that I would melt if I got wet in the rain, not thinking that that would be like absolutely horrifying to him. Yeah, so I mean, nobody melts; everybody's fine.
Yeah, yeah. The wear and tear on the bike is the biggest thing because rust is the enemy of all things metal.
Sure. And so Okay, you just dry it off. Okay.
Yeah, usually. You know, I mean, I try and keep it clean, recognizing that the cleaner you keep the bike, the better it'll operate, and then the longer it will last. So, you know, I give it a good deep cleaning every couple weeks. But if I feel like it's getting grungy or if it rains, I definitely, you know, dry it off as soon as I get home so that it's not sitting wet.
Now, is your wife a biker as well, or are you the family biker?
I'm trying to get her there. We actually bought a new bike for her, I guess, in December and when we were in the States and then had it shipped to Guatemala. And, we get out and do short rides and they have a on the main drag in town every Sunday. They shut it down to traffic and people get out and, you know, with their kids and families and pets and bike and walk and rollerblade. And so we'll get out there and I get her out there. But she's... she's a bit of a reluctant biker at times. I'm always pushing her, probably too hard.
Yeah, no, my husband definitely, I think I've already told listeners of this, but my kids are like, yeah, mom, dad's just not a family biker, which is fine. He doesn't have to love biking, but we love it.
Yeah, right. I'm good about that. I just kind of, you know, the power of suggestion, you know, like when it's like, hey, let's go out and ride our
bikes.
Now,
are your older kids on their own bikes?
Come on, you love riding bikes. Don't give me that. Yeah, so we've got a lot of wheels in our house between bikes and scooters and tricycles. The two older kids are on, I just couldn't bring myself. I wanted to get them a real nice, you know, fancy, expensive bike. And I was like, they're 8, 9, 10 years old. They don't take care of it. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And so I bought a cheap, department store version, made sure to take it to a bike mechanic to ensure that it was, you know, put together appropriate, you know, correctly. And I'm glad I did because they found all sorts of problems with the wheels and the brakes being out of alignment and whatnot. And then the middle guy, he's on a real nice bike because I wasn't in that same frame of mind. Maybe I was in a little better position financially when I bought it, but it's a cube,
A
20 inch cube. So the two big guys are on 24 inch department store bikes. I think the mark is Shogun or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
It's a cheapy brand. And then the middle guy's on a cube. And then the little one, the little girl who just turned 3, we've just gotten her interested in the Strider.
Yeah.
Which is just such a great tool that, you know, I don't remember it existing when I was a kid.
I know. And they're so cute on
them. Oh my gosh. She's a trip. And I can see it in our 4th, who just went from a 16 to his 20 inch. But here he is. I mean, he was at 4 years old. He was riding. He was better than some of the older kids, I feel like.
I know.
He started so little with that balance bike. And then, you know, all he had to do was learn the pedaling. And once he got that, he just took off.
I know. They're just out of there.
Yeah, they're great. Those are great. The balance bikes are fantastic tools. It took me a while, but I realized that training wheels don't really help, you know, because once they have the balance.
They really don't. I mean, they're not helping you learn the balance, which is what you need, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I didn't learn that until my third or fourth kid. And as I became more interested in biking and reading about it, that once they have the balance, it's just a matter of putting it all together, the steering, the balance, and the pedaling. And they get it so fast. You know, these kids, they just learn so fast. They're little sponges. It's disgusting. I hate it.
My best advice when you're teaching kids how to ride is to make sure they're looking where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because so often they'll be looking down at their handlebars. You're like, no, you have to look mm-hmm. where you want to go. Otherwise, you're just going to fall.
Yeah, and the only thing I really work with, I really took the time to work with each kid on was stopping and starting. You know, because pushing them down the hill and getting them rolling, they do just fine. But then when they stop and they start to lean to one side, they get a little panicked. And,
right.
You know, all you got to do is put your foot down. But, you know, if right. you don't know that, you don't know that. And so I that's the only thing I really work with them on is let's practice stopping and starting and everything else.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
And awesome. So far, so good. I think bike riding, we've only broken one bone.
Awesome.
And so amongst five kids, that doesn't sound too bad.
No, right? Right. Let's see. I mean, we're close to time. I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to tell us about or a favorite memory?
No, I mean, memories, there's too many to count. But when you were asking about like tricks, and this is more, maybe less of a family. I mean, I think it applies across the board. But in a culture where I am, where it's not a bike friendly culture, you know, people think many people very frequently say, like, you bike to work in Guatemala? Like, what are you, crazy? And I say, well, you know, the alternative is sitting on the bus every day for anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes to get home, whereas it only takes me 20 minutes every day without fail. So I think the crazy one is pretty clear. But anyway, what I was going to say was, as I'm riding in this very congested city, I find a real benefit in owning my space. And I feel like I'm a vehicle just like anybody else with every right to the road. And when I'm riding in traffic, I take up the lane just like a car does. And you get beeped at and you can tell people get upset by it. But in that way, you're seen better. I feel like mm-hmm, when mm-hmm. you get to the side and you try and make room for the car so they can squeeze by you, I think that's when you're inviting disaster.
And yeah, because you get really close to the door. You can get doored that way or, you know, potholes on the side or whatever, all
that's
kinds
exactly
of stuff.
Exactly right. And so I get in the middle of the lane. I have flashing light on the back. I wear reflective clothing. I try and be seen. But I own the space as a driver of a vehicle that has every right to the road, just like any other motorized vehicle does. Quite honestly, when I'm moving in traffic in Guatemala, most times I'm going faster than the traffic because it's bumper to bumper and I can go in between the cars like the motorcycles, which is legal. And but when I'm in the lane and traffic gets moving a little faster, I just get in the middle of the lane and pretend like I'm a motorcycle or a car with every right to that space as anyone else. And I think that helps with visibility, which is ultimately, you know, what I think is most important for any cyclist is to be visible, because it's when they don't see you that you get in trouble.
Right. And hopefully that changes people's perception of, you know, a bike. It's a vehicle, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. We're a one car family. So, it's how I get pretty much everywhere. And so, yeah, it's a vehicle, and, you know, certain cities are better at it. I think European cities are kind of the leading edge. DC, even in the 3 years we lived there, which was 14 to 17, I saw a huge difference in those 3 years where, mm-hmm. you know, it's just a matter of, it takes time. You know, it's culture. It's a cultural change, and culture change never happens fast. It's a slow moving process, but little by little over the course of those 3 years, I saw a huge difference in the amount of bike lanes and the acceptance amongst drivers. And so, you know, the more you get out there and are visible, the more you help to change that culture, hopefully for the better, and to a point where there's more acceptance.
Well, thanks so much for taking time to chat with me, John. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, this was great. Thanks for having me, Nicole. I really appreciate the offer.